Can everybody hear me? Good. So first off tonight, I want to thank the elders. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to be up here tonight. Fourth Sunday of each month, we have the opportunity, one of us has the opportunity to speak, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. I don't know how thankful you guys will be tonight that I had that opportunity, but I will tell you one thing. On the way in, when Joe was on his way in tonight, I was going out to put something in the truck, and he said, "You can't leave, you're preaching." I said, no, that's on you. He said, "Well, then you got to lead singing." So I believe you'll be happier with me preaching than you would if I would have led singing. So hopefully everything will work out for us. But I am thankful for the opportunity. There's a lot more spaces on the board back there that are open, so the rest of our young men need to, I'm not young, but the rest of the men who normally participate in that, look at that and see where you can help out with that. We all benefit from it. I benefit from doing it because I have to put a lot more study into this than I do if I'm just sitting in the pew. So, but anyway, tonight I want to talk about the Alpha and the Omega. In Revelations 22, verse 13, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." This, like many other things, we read them and we get the basic understanding, which is fine. It gives us the ability to understand the passage. But I think we get a lot more from it if we really delve into these things and we really study on them and we look deep into the ways that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. So I want to start with Jesus' physical relationship with man. I've got the verses up here on the slide. That's all the slides are going to be, is the verses, because the last time I spoke, a couple of people said I went too fast and they couldn't keep up and they were turning to the passage and I had already moved on. So they're up there. You can already be turning to it. But Jesus' physical relationship with man. In John 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Now if you would turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole first chapter. It's a lengthy, there'll be a couple of lengthy readings tonight, but just bear with me. So Genesis chapter 1. We've already read in John chapter 1 that Jesus was there. Everything was created through Jesus. I don't know if we often think about that much. I don't know if we often dive into that and really think about the fact that creation was done through Jesus. So let's read Genesis chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth.' And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb that yields seed according to its own kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And so it was. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and then let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, we see there that Jesus, we know that Jesus was there, that everything was created through him. But as we read the account of creation, how often do we think of the fact that Jesus created that? Sometimes we get this separation in our head of this hard to understand concept of God and the fact that the God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I think sometimes we limit our thoughts of Jesus to just what we read in the New Testament. But Jesus was there before the earth was formed. Jesus was there, and everything that was created, including man, was created through Jesus. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to read verses 31 through 46. So Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked, or clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it unto me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. So Jesus is going to be the judge on Judgment Day. Physically, before man existed, Jesus was. Jesus was there when man physically first took his first breath, and he will be there when the last man takes his last breath. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I want to look at how Jesus is the first and the last for man spiritually in his relationship with us. So turn over to Genesis chapter 6. I'll read verses 13 through 22. So Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 22. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make room in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch, and this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door in the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself, I am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is their breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, and you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds of their after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them. And thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Jesus was there for the flood. Jesus was there to give instructions to Noah on how to save man from the flood. I'll turn over to Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And most of these scriptures you already know. You know the scriptures well. But in Genesis chapter 12 is where God made his covenant with Abraham, or his promises. So Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Jesus was there when these promises were made. So Jesus was there before what we know of the old covenant. He was there through the patriarchal age. He was there before what we identify as the patriarchs. Jesus was there the whole time. Every time it says God, that's Jesus. Now I know it's the Godhead, but it includes Jesus. So look at some of the ways that Jesus, some of the things that Jesus did as far as the old covenant. So look at Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And this, of course, is the Ten Commandments. Again, you know these scriptures. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness or anything that is in the heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and it shall and in it you shall not do no work. You nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or anything that is in your neighbor's, that is your neighbor's. Jesus gave the law. Now turn over to Joshua 21, verses 43 through 45. Joshua 21, verses 43 through 45. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not to a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered them all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now turning over to the new covenant. So Jesus was there before the old law. Jesus was there when the promises were made to Abraham. Jesus was there for the flood. Jesus was there when the law was given to Israel. Jesus, I didn't put it in there, but Jesus was there when all the plagues hit Egypt. Jesus is in all of this. Turn over to Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 26 through 33. So Luke chapter 1, and all of this will tie together at the end, I promise you. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of his highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who is called barren, for with God nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. So Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth and to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Turn to John 3:16-17. So Jesus has left heaven now, and he is born. He is a physical being on the earth. John 3:16-17, you know this passage, but it tells us the purpose that he came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw that what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breast and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now turn over to Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" So Jesus was there when the nation promise was fulfilled. Jesus was there when the land promise was fulfilled. And Jesus was there when the seed promise was fulfilled. Jesus was there when the promises were made. Jesus is there when the promises were fulfilled. The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Concerning our faith, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." I turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 and read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus was there at creation. He was there when the first man breathed, and he'll be there when the last man breathes. He was there when the promises were made to Abraham, and he was there when those promises were fulfilled. Jesus was there when the plan of salvation was formed, and he was there when it was completed. And when I say Jesus was there, Jesus did it. Jesus made the plan. Jesus fulfilled the plan. Jesus will be the first thing that we see when we enter into heaven, or he'll be the last thing that we see when we enter into hell. So what does all of this mean? Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What does this mean? How does this apply to me today? Well, this means that Jesus should be the first thing I think of when I wake up in the morning and the last thing I think of before I lay my head down to go to sleep. Jesus should be the first one that I turn to when I need help or when things are going wrong. And he should be the first one that I go, the last one that I go to when I start trying to blame things. Unfortunately, for many in the world, and maybe even sometimes for us, it's the opposite. Jesus is the last resort and the first one we want to blame. But it shouldn't be that way. On my priority list, Jesus should be first and everything else should be last. Joe led us in that song, I Am the Way, and I thank him for doing that. Jesus is identified to us in many ways. I've just covered two of them. I would encourage you to study and dive into all of those things. Look at what those things mean. Look at how they apply to Jesus. And look at how that should apply to you and the way that you think and the way that you conduct yourself. Jesus is absolutely the Alpha and the Omega in every way, in everything. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. In everything that has ever mattered, in everything that matters today, and everything that ever will matter, Jesus is the first and the last. If you haven't been putting Jesus first, start. When you find yourself going for periods of time without thinking about Jesus, stop and restart. If Jesus is not the center of our focus, we will not live our lives the way we're supposed to. We will not be able to influence others to come to Christ. And eventually, we will not hear the words we want to hear on the day of judgment. If you have not yet been baptized, then you can't even say you're putting Jesus first. The fact of the matter is, Jesus, in every way, in every way you can possibly imagine, he is absolutely the beginning and the end of everything. For us as men, physical existence came through Jesus. It's going to end with Jesus. Everything that we are spiritually began with Jesus, and it ended with is going to end with Jesus. We have to constantly remind ourselves that every single thing, no matter what it is, every single thing needs to be put into context with just how important Jesus is to us. I love to fish. Where does that compare to Jesus? It doesn't even exist. Right? I love my wife and my children and my grandchildren. When it comes to Jesus, they're not on the same level. We have to put him first. It's the only way that we're going to be able to continue to follow him. Satan is very good at what he does. Satan is absolutely good at what he does. When you think about how many billions of people have walked the face of the earth and Satan has only failed to get one to sin, and that was Jesus. Every other person who's ever walked the face of the earth, Satan has been able to get them to sin. So there's not a person that's ever walked the face of this earth that shouldn't be putting Jesus first. We have no hope of heaven without Jesus. We have no hope of any of our loved ones having eternity in heaven without Jesus. Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's one of the ways, one of the things that it says in that psalm. Again, look at all the ways, and it's not just the ones in the psalm. Jesus is identified to us in other ways. But look at those things, study on those things, dive into them, and get a better understanding of what God is trying to tell us about how important Jesus is to us and what he should mean to us. Right now, we're going to stand and sing a song. And if you haven't been baptized, you'll have that opportunity right now. You can start putting Jesus first in your life. If you haven't been putting Jesus first in your life, go home, pray about it, make it happen to the best of your ability. And if you need help with that, let us know. We'll help you with it. We'll pray with you. The elders, I'm sure, can arrange to set up a study with you. We'll do whatever it takes. Because eventually we all want to be in heaven, and the only way we can get there is through Jesus. And the only way we can truly learn to love and appreciate Jesus is to look at all the ways that he has identified to us and what those things mean. And not just take them at surface value, but really look at them and see what they mean. But right now we're going to sing a song, and if you're in any way subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.